College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Upstart. Upstart has revolutionized how we borrow money by going beyond the traditional FICO score to offer personal loans, taking into account factors like job experience and education when determining your interest rate. Checking your Upstart rate is free, and it has no effect on your credit score. Your Upstart rate takes just 2 minutes, and if you are approved, you can get your funds as soon as the next business day. They make it quick and easy for you. The path to financial freedom can look awfully bleak when you have high interest debt, and if your FICO score isn't great, it can make breaking out of that revolving debt cycle harder than it needs to be. Thankfully, our sponsor Upstart is revolutionizing the process of personal lending. Hurry to upstart.com/hoops to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/hoops. And now that we've got you all up to date with all your Upstart needs, let's get into some storylines, some themes as we digest, dissect, and offer some perspective just about 1 week away from the start of the 2018-19 season. One big thing to all college basketball junkies out there, do not overreact to results from scrimmages and exhibitions. A lot of times in these cases, coaches will not play their full roster. They will hide certain players out of the lineup with nicks, with bruises, with things like that, just if they're a little bit banged up because they don't want to risk further injury. And also, they're not always substituting like it's a real game because they want to get lesser players in the rotation, regular reps. Now, I've watched a lot of exhibitions, and I have tried, again, not to read too much into the final score. What I have tried to do, and I think this is something you can do, is identify personnel. So I want to go through three teams right now in terms of the exhibitions that I watched in the last week where stuff has really stood out. I rewatched, you know, Kentucky's exhibition with Transylvania from late last week a couple of times over the weekend. And to me, the big thing that stands out, Keldon Johnson could be the biggest intangibles player that John Calipari has had since Michael Kidd-Gilchrist anchored that run to a 2012 national title. Whenever Keldon Johnson is on the floor for Kentucky, good things happen. He did not start against Transylvania, but as soon as he came off the bench, unbelievable things happen. Another thing, staying in the Commonwealth, Louisville held off Bellarmine by 11 on Sunday in an exhibition at the KFC Yum Center. It was a very competitive game, very well coached game on both sides. The biggest takeaway I have from watching Louisville, the Cards have to establish Stephen Enoch, the UConn transfer, in the low post. He's the only true low post guy that they have on their roster. To me, this could be the X factor for Louisville's season. And last week, despite everything that was happening with Kansas off the court, and we talked about that a lot the last couple of weeks here on this podcast, Kansas had its exhibition at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, and the big thing that stood out to me was I would be shocked if Dedrick Lawson, the Memphis transfer, is not an All-American. I would be shocked after watching him once if he's not a first-team All-American. This guy's an effortless talent. Again, the competition you have to take with a grain of salt, but 31-15 in 23 minutes. Video game-like numbers for Dedrick Lawson in his exhibition opener for Kansas. So you're starting to find out who's who and what's what right now as we inch closer to the 2018-2019 season. Veteran teams always win in college basketball. One of those veteran teams that has its top six scorers returning from last year's squad is Tennessee. They're coached by Rick Barnes, and Rick Barnes joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. college basketball season about a week away from getting started for the 18-19 season. Tennessee returned several key components from last year's squad that won the SEC regular season title. And the head coach of Tennessee is Rick Barnes, and he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And coach, it is the time of the preseason where people are having scrimmages and exhibitions. You had one over the weekend against Davidson. What did you learn about your team after going head-to-head with Davidson that maybe you didn't know prior?
Well, first of all, you know, we've been scrimmaging Davidson for well over a decade. And, you know, we've got so much respect for Bob McKillop and his program at Davidson College. And we feel like we get more out of that scrimmage than if we played any type of game because of what they do and all the things they do well. And we did some things well. We weren't very consistent. You know, we're not up where we're playing, you know, 40 minutes. You know, we had a really good 20 minutes, and then we had lapses in the next 20. And so what we know we need to do is we got to get more consistent. We also know we've got to get more production from our bench earlier in the game to allow our key guys to be fresher at the end of the game. And but we learned a lot about a lot of different players individually, and probably more so that than anything. We know we've got to get better and out of bounds defense. We got to do a better job with post defense. But overall, every year we get so much out of that scrimmage with Davidson.
You know, coach, you've been doing this a long time, and things have changed in terms of what the NCAA allows you to do with your team. You know, there was a rule passed last year that gave coaches 4 hours, you know, in the offseason to work with their team and spend time with their team on the floor. When you couple that with the fact that you have 6 weeks now before the start of the season to begin practice, does it feel like at times that the preseason is too long and monotonous?
It does, and I think we should be allowed to do more in this time of year. Those 6 weeks, like you're talking about leading up, because we do get to spend time with our players during the summer, spring, and with the rules. And so I think it would benefit everyone to have a chance to do more scrimmage, even if they added one or if they allowed people to play. Again, I think relief games are great for everybody. You get a cause and you decide what that cause is, it can be a great thing. And, you know, John Calipari has always spoken about doing something, allowing us to do something in the early part of August, the last week and a half, 2 weeks of summer school, which, again, I think is a great idea. I think the key is that the more we can play against outside competition, it really allows you to, more than anything, to build your depth with guys that need outside competition.
You're picked 13th last year, coach. You win the SEC. You've had a long and storied coaching career. Where does last season's accomplishment rank among your milestones?
Well, John, really nothing to do with being picked 13th. What was great about a year ago is we had a group of guys that from the very beginning felt like they could win basketball games. You know, we'd been close so many times the year before, and we knew it was a very fine line between winning and losing. I think they understood that a year ago, and the question will be, do they understand it again right now? Because you take nothing for granted. But to watch those guys come together and continue to get better as the season went on was really the key. And I think that's the key for every team that does do well from start to finish.
Now, you don't have the ending that you wanted. You lost the heartbreaker in the NCAA tournament to Loyola Chicago. As you reflect back on last season, do you take more pride in knowing that you were able to win your league, or do you look at it as maybe a missed opportunity because of how difficult the loss was in the round of 32?
Well, you know, anytime you lose in the NCAA tournament, it's a heartbreaker because it's a finality to it. You know that it's over with, and everything you had built to that point is over, done with. You're going to have to start over the next year and really a couple weeks after that. You look back on it, and yeah, I think anytime you can win a conference championship, get to hang a banner, it's something that separates teams. That's what takes the good teams from the you know, also-ran teams. So if you can say that you won a conference championship, a tournament championship, it makes that year a good year. But we all know at the level that we play at that the ultimate goal is to win that big trophy. And so when you get knocked out, I don't care if it's in the first round or if you get knocked out in this national championship game, it's a heartbreaking defeat.
Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Vols returned their top six scorers from last year's group that won the SEC. Now, it's going to be an interesting dynamic right now for your team because a year ago
at this time. They weren't necessarily on the radar. Now they're completely on the radar. How much have you been dealing with, obviously, human nature within your own program right now? Because for the first time, Tennessee for this team is in bold print.
Well, you know what, John, you go back to the middle of January on, we were pretty much on the radar. You know, we were ranked, and you know as well as anyone that when you got a number in front of your team name, people are going to try to build a resume knowing that they beat a top 25 team. And so, you know, we've been on the radar from it. You go back to a year ago. Obviously, the difference is, you know, we've been talked about now in the off season, preseason, summer, you know, because of what we accomplished last year. And so I do know that people are telling these guys everywhere they go how excited they are for basketball to get going. But there can be no complacency. If that happens, that's my fault, and I'm not going to let that happen. And I think I've got enough confidence in our guys here. We know as a coaching staff that these guys have put their work in. We know it's going to be hard. And we hope that we can do better than we did a year ago. But we know it's going to be harder because it's always hard because people around you are going to continue to get better. And our goal every day is to see if we can get better every day. And that's what we have tried to stick to here. And people think that's a cliche, but it's really not. The art is understanding how to get better at getting better. And that's what we keep talking about with our guys. How can each individual guy get better and understand that? And by doing that, it makes our team better.
Well, you got better, obviously, at Providence when you went to three NCAA tournaments, and you also went to three NCAA tournaments in 4 years at Clemson before you took the Texas job. Is the dynamic surrounding Tennessee more like Providence and Clemson, maybe instead of Texas, because they're programs that aren't initially thought of as the top basketball programs in their respective league?
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, Providence and Tennessee are more similar than Clemson and Texas because when you coach at Providence College and you know that you're in a state that loves their basketball, and maybe one of the biggest kept secrets in all of college basketball is how much Tennessee loves their basketball. You go back and look, they have been one of the higher ranked teams in terms of attendance for probably 25 years. You know, last year on the weekends, we averaged 19,000 fans during the week, you know, around 16 and a half. This place, and my wife went to school here, and I knew it was basketball is really good, but there is a real love affair here with the basketball program, University of Tennessee. So Providence and Tennessee are more alike in that way. Obviously, Texas has a brand, you know, in Clemson. But all you think about, I've coached John at Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Tennessee, and Texas, all great football programs, but. This place, I'm telling you, they love their basketball. And I'm excited about where we are right now. I'm excited about the fact that we think we can get better, and we have to get better, and we'll see where it all plays out.
Well, you know, Coach, it's interesting because as a head coach, you've coached in the ACC, you've coached in the Big East, you've coached in the Big 12, and you've coached in the SEC. How are all of those leagues different from a coaching perspective?
And they are different. I will tell you, you know, the ACC, I think, more of a finessed league, no question about that. I think that when you look at the SEC, it's a very athletic league. You look at the Big 12. When I was in the Big East, it was a very power-oriented league. And I would say that the Big 12 is somewhere in between. But I do think they all have a little bit distinction in terms of the way things are played and the way, really, in some ways, I could say the way the game's officiated. But the fact is, you look at your league and you look at your team, and I think everyone tries to build their team where they can play a lot of different styles of basketball. And that's what we've tried to do with what we're doing, and we're going to continue to try to do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You look at what you did at Providence. You're there 6 years. You're at Clemson 4. You're at Texas for 17. I'm curious, you know, you got things obviously rolling right now in your fourth year at Tennessee. If another coach reached out to you and was thinking about maybe changing jobs and he said to you, Coach Barnes, what's the right amount of time to stay at a place in college basketball before you opt to switch? What would you tell him?
Well, you know, my goal would have been to stay at Texas. You know, that's where my family had, what we had really become home to my family. My kids and grandkids still live there. My daughter does anyway. But I realized that, you know, you're not in control, and I really believe that God brought me to Tennessee for a purpose, and I really do believe that. But I don't know if you could put a time on it. I think that you have to realize in this business that fans are going to be fans. You know, they want to win. It's everywhere I've ever been, when you first go into a job, there's that old saying that everybody would say, hey, you know, we're going to love you when you win, if you win, and if you lose, we're going to miss you. And, you know, that's everybody says that. What I do know that everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win. And so I think what you have to do is go into the situation knowing that it might be the only job you ever have. And you got to put both feet in, plan as firmly as you can, build the culture that you want to build. And one, you've got to have a great administration behind you. You've got to have a great coaching staff with you because you're not going to do it by yourself. Then you've got to decide the culture you want and what you're going to do. And then hopefully that, you know, you can recruit to what you do. You believe in what you do. You make it work. And then in terms of how long, you know, there's people that tell me, you know, 7-8 years is what it should be. And the days of guys like Krzyzewski and Boeheim and people staying long places, Roy Williams, Bill Self, that's not going to happen. But I don't necessarily believe that. I think if people find the right fit and it all works, I think the administration has a lot to do with it. When the administration changes, Board of Trustees change, it can create havoc. We've watched that in athletics today. We've watched how many university boards have really messed up athletic programs. And so there's a lot that goes into that. So it's really a difficult question to answer.
Well, you did say that, you know, you would have liked to have stayed at Texas, you know, because that's where your family had laid down their roots. Upon reflection, is there some things maybe that you would have done differently at Texas if you had a chance to do it over again?
No, not at all. I worked for, I think, the best, certainly the best athletic director in the country for 15 years in DeLoss Dodds. And, you know, you know, our philosophies, I mean, you know, he said something to me, and I've lived by it. He said to me when I first took that job, he said, you know, we want to win, and we love to win a national championship, but not ever at the expense of the integrity of this university. And he said, athletics is not the front porch of this university. He said, there's so much more to this. And he said, I wanted you to do your job. I want you to protect it. I want you to spend money the way your money. Just do it the right way. So if we do ever win that big trophy, there is no skeletons in the closet. And we know we can stand there with pride that we did it the right way. That's how he administered for the entire time I was there. I watched Mack Brown build a tremendous program. I watched Augie Garrido become the all-time winningest baseball coach. I watched Eddie Reese do what he did there. But then administration changes, the board of trustee changes, and people want to make changes, they make changes. But in terms of what we did as a basketball program, we felt like we had the culture that we want. Now, we had years where guys would come in and, you know, one and done and be gone. So we were always patching that up a little bit, which is fine. We had no problem with that. We knew that when we were getting into it. But, you know, we went to, 16 out of 17 NCAA tournaments. And actually, the year after we left, they went back with the same group of guys that we had. And so, you know, in terms of that, would you do some things different? It's like from game to game. You go back and wish you would have made this call here or that call. There's always little tweaks, but overall, any major adjustments, we would have just, again, kept trying to get better each year.
Well, you know, Coach, you had so many great players at Texas, guys who went on to the NBA, so many lottery picks. And at Tennessee, the nucleus you have in place right now is built on blue-collar, under-the-radar guys. When you think about how you are at this juncture in your career and your life, is it better for Rick Barnes to be coaching blue-chip recruits or guys that have something to prove and play with an edge?
Both, because we did the same thing at Texas. We did the same thing at Texas. The guys, if you go back and talk to the guys at Texas during our times there, the names we're going to throw out are going to be Brandon Mouton, Roy Alivey, James Thomas, Brian Boddicker, those guys that were there, A.J. Abrams, Kevin Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, P.J. Tucker, Kevin Durant, all those guys that went to the pros. It was those guys that sustained the program when those guys left early. Those were the blue-collar guys you're talking about, and that's what we think here. But we are going to recruit the best players that we can possibly recruit. And so I think that you realize you build your program to a point, you're going to get the attention from those type players, and then, you know, you want to build with those guys. And we don't have a problem with guys being one and done, but we will not get away from our foundation of having those blue collar type guys in our program, because we believe in them. We believe in what we do with our personal improvement program and development. We believe in all that, but we're always going to try to recruit the best players that we can recruit.
Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, let's talk about the team that you have in place right now. If we've learned anything about college basketball the last couple of years, it's that returning players usurp incoming players. And we have seen that in the Final Four. Just look a year ago. Villanova, Loyola Chicago, Kansas, Michigan, all veteran teams. I know I voted your team in the top five already to start the season. Do you feel, because of the fact that you return your top six scorers from a team that won the SEC, you're being undervalued at all nationally to start the season?
No, I don't, because I think you go back and look at Villanova. I mean, and they were a team that had been together, but I think what they sent three guys to the NBA. And I think that when people look at our guys, do I think they look at our guys as being those types of players? I don't, even though we think they're pretty darn good, and we hope that they get a chance to live their dreams out, because I know how hard they work to do that. And I think because of some of these guys weren't, quote-unquote, the highly recruited players or the five-star guys coming in, that maybe they don't get the recognition that they deserve as individuals. But the fact is, we talk about with them about just getting better, and when it's all said and done, you know, it's not the talking that you're going to do, it's what you put in the book. And so we talk about that. Just, again, let's get better. Let's just see where it falls out and plays out. But we know that one thing for certain, if you're going to get to a Final Four, you're going to have talent. It's a common denominator. You got to have it. But the experience part that you talked about, I do think is probably as big now as it's ever been. And but now the question is, can we play like a veteran team, like all the other teams that return players? Can you play like a veteran team? Can you learn from what you did in the past? Can you become more consistent in everything you do every day? Can you carry it over? Can we get more depth? Last year we had numbers, and what I meant by that, we got basically the same team back. We lost two guys, but the numbers, we didn't have depth because those guys, there was a huge drop off when we went to the bench, and that's mm-hmm. what we've got to get better this year. When we go to our bench, if you got depth, there's not that big a drop off.
Well, who specifically do you think are some X factors that could affect your depth this year and really extend your bench, Coach?
Well, I think one of the big X factors is a guy that has started for 4 years is Kyle Alexander, that he can be consistent and do what we know he's capable of night in and night out, and because we ask him to do a lot for us. And then we definitely need John Fulkerson to get back to where he was as a freshman before he got hurt. Derek Walker is a guy that can give us some of that bulk that we want up front. But Eve Pons is a guy that can gives us the versatility. He's the only guy on our team that can guard 1 through 5. He can guard all five positions because of his strength and his quickness and his athleticism. Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bone are still, Lamonte was a sixth man of the year in the league last year. To us, he's a starter. He and Jordan Bone being consistent will be a big key. But our bench, Jalen Johnson, those guys have to be able to give us quality minutes.
Grant Williams won the SEC Player of the Year last year. He's back again. What new wrinkles in his game might we see that he didn't necessarily have a year ago?
I think you'll see a lot more from him in terms of, he's a player that you can move all over the court. You can play him a lot of different places. I think he'll be a harder – we're certainly working at making him a harder player to defend. Because we know he's very good around the basket. But we also know that people can find him there. We just keep him there all the time. And so we're wanting to use him in ways to get him away from the basket, cutting to the basket, playing with the ball in his hand, bringing the ball down the court. There's different things like that we want to see him do. And, you go back to Admiral Schofield. I mean, Admiral last year arguably could have been the player of the year in the league. At the end of the year, he was playing better than anybody on our team. And we need his consistency. And We need both of those guys to rebound the ball better for us.
Your league coach has went from a league that's been associated with college football to one last year that was as deep as any in basketball. And it looks like right now that the SEC might have more teams that are built to go deeper in the NCAA tournament than it did a year ago. Give me a team maybe you think that might be off the radar that could compete at the top of the SEC that not a lot of people are talking about. And give me a team that you think might be projected lower that can finish higher.
Well, you know, people talk about our league talent. I mean, we've had a lot of NBA guys come through here, and a bunch of them have told us they think our league has probably more NBA potential players than any league in the country this year. And I think Kentucky is a team that is going to be John has always done a great job with his team, but he's almost had to start over, and that's hard to do. I don't care how talented your players are. But he's got those guys coming back, so his starting point is much further up the meter than it has been in the past. I think they're going to be really good from start to finish, and like I said, his teams always get better. Mississippi State's a team that's loaded with talent, and Ben Hallam does a terrific job. He's been to the Final Four numerous times, and I think he's got a team now that he has tried to build along those same lines that he had at UCLA. But I just got so much respect for the coaches in the league. You know, I do. I just know that there's coaches in this league that have been around a long time. And I think that when you've got experienced coaches, they find a way to make their teams better. So I could probably sit here with you and go through the whole league and say, yeah, this team could be higher. And I don't know if I can say anybody's any lower, because I haven't really even looked at – I did not look at the preseason, how it all played out. I just know this. If you ask me today, when we go on the road, are there going to be any easy games? I will tell you, absolutely not. And I will not ever be at ease when teams come in here, because I've been doing this long enough to know that anybody can beat you on any given night. And that's what makes college basketball what it is. In a 40-minute game, anything can happen. And over the course of the year, us and Auburn both proved a year ago that, you know, you always have to expect the unexpected.
Well, final thing for me, Coach, it's been 15 and a half years since you went to the Final Four with Texas and New Orleans in 2003. You haven't been back since. When you look at this group that you bring back from a year ago, where does this rank in terms of a starting point, in terms of Rick Barnes' best chances to get back to a Final Four, given the personnel that you're going to put on the floor?
Well, I think we're at a great starting point. I think that we've done, even in our scrimmage against Davidson, we showed that we're at a point probably further than we were certainly at this time last year. The question is, how quick can we get back to where we were defensively last year, and then can we take it to the next level? And that's what we're talking about with our team. We certainly don't want to be the best we're going to be right now. If we did, we'd be in a heap of trouble. But we want to see us get back there quickly. And then, really, by the end of December, you're hoping that you are now building to a level that's well above where you were a year ago.
Well, Coach, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Appreciate a couple of minutes this morning. Know how busy you are. Stay healthy, and best of luck starting the season. Look forward to staying in touch along the way.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
I'd like to thank Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you that the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein is being brought to you by Geico. Did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. And also want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We have the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Benjamin's. John, who is the biggest threat to St. Louis in the Atlantic 10? I'm going to say St. Joe's. St. Joe's 16-16 a year ago. Did not have Fresh Kimball. Did not have Charlie Brown, who is hands down their best pro prospect since DeAndre Bembry. St. Joe's, to me, number two in the Atlantic 10. Our next question comes from Westside Quizball, and it's John. What is the ceiling for the Cincinnati Bearcats this season. They lost a lot, but still have some very good pieces. Cincinnati, to me, is a team that, as long as Mick Cronin's a coach, will be a perennial NCAA tournament team. How far can they go once they get there? That's to be determined. Cincinnati, in my opinion, needs a bona fide running mate, a bona fide double-figure scorer on the perimeter that can make shots next to Jaron Cumberland. To me, the favorite is Kane Broome. Everything I'm gathering right now is that Cincinnati is going to play him more off the ball exclusively this year, with Justin Jennifer on the ball. Cincinnati needs 12 to 14 or 15 a game from Kane Broome to get back to their ninth straight NCAA tournament. And then our final question is going to come from Ricky, and he goes, who is the best player on Virginia's roster? And Ricky, to me, that's easy. It's DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter is a guy who has a chance this year, in my opinion, to be ACC Player of the Year. He has a chance this year to be an All-American. And a lot of people seem to forget, and I'm not making any excuses for Virginia's loss to UMBC in the NCAA tournament, but for DeAndre Hunter was a critical, critical piece to that Virginia puzzle last year. They lose him after the ACC tournament. Virginia obviously was shocked by UMBC, who didn't just shock Virginia, they shocked the college basketball world. But think about this for a second. Virginia last year, when it had DeAndre Hunter, okay, won the ACC, which was clearly the best league in the country last year, by four games, and then won the ACC tournament. That's how good Virginia was last year. And then you take away a piece like that, it changes a lot of things. I don't think, again, and I said this when we had Tony Bennett on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I don't think people are giving that enough attention, how big DeAndre Hunter was last year for Virginia. Now that we got you set with your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, Knowles undervalued. Another crazy thought I had after seeing the ACC preseason poll last week. Florida State returned six of its top eight scorers from an Elite Eight team and is picked seventh. To me, that is inconceivable. Nugget number two, svelte in the bio. Well-embedded moles in Baton Rouge, Louisiana continue to rave about how LSU freshman Naz Reid has transformed his body. We know from talking to Will Wade on this podcast that he has compared Naz Reid to Chris Webber. This guy, again, has a chance to be SEC Player of the Year and a likely lottery pick in 2019. Nugget number three, another challenge brewing. I have learned per multiple sources that the Mountain West has voted in favor of an annual challenge between the Mountain West and the Atlantic 10. The Atlantic 10 needs to meet in the next couple of weeks and decide if they want to go through with this. That, again, would be a challenge that would start in the next couple seasons. Nugget number four, Kelvin Secret. The best transfer I've seen this preseason that isn't getting enough national attention, and that's Houston's Dejon Giroux. You might remember him from UMass. He played 2 years ago for Derek Kellogg. This kid can play four positions on the floor at 6'5". At UMass 2 years ago as a freshman, he averaged 9.5 points per game, 4.5 assists, and almost 3.5 rebounds. This, to me, is going to be a unique player in the American Conference. And nugget number four, fighting windmills. This goes in line with what I was talking about with the Atlantic 10 and the Mountain West. I don't think there's ever been a harder time to be a head coach in the Atlantic 10, in the Missouri Valley, in Conference USA, or in the Mountain West, because we are seeing right now more and more power conferences not just going to 20 high major games, but also putting themselves in a situation where they're aligned with other conferences to get high games that will boost their metrics. The Big 12 and the Big East officially announced last week an annual challenge between the two conferences starting in 1920. That means if you are in the ACC, the Big 10, the Big 12, or the Big East, you are guaranteed at least 20 high major games a season. We're going to see less and less bids, in my opinion, for the NCAA tournament from the A-10, the Mountain West, the Missouri Valley, and Conference USA. We'd like to thank Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week as we inch closer to the start of the 18-19 college basketball season. We'll be back again, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.